since then the group has sent engineer to work at Ratchamongkon, Thangyaburi. Okay. And then Gun Sarawak was the business person at Versat Cement Company, a famous cement from Germany. Okay. So we keep in touch with each other all the time because we can learn from one another. And about 1 year ago, he left his company. See? He does not want only to spend all his life at the famous corporate world. See? Corporate world means you work for big companies with a lot of securities, a lot of job security. He want to become entrepreneur. Entrepreneur means he left the company and want to set up consulting business. Okay, you know it's not easy to become self-employed. So he asked me to work with him. Okay, so I asked him that we have a class in leadership, especially in education. So please come and share. You know, he's under a rather difficult time in his life because his mother, right, passed away. But when you meet him this time, and before he leaves, he came to us because I'm going to visit India with him, probably in October, to bring Indian experts to come to Thailand. So we can exchange ideas about economics, education and things like that, okay? Because Indian has very good brain. Many of Indian professors work in Harvard, in Stanford, just like that. In fact, when I wrote my thesis, one person who supervised my thesis, best in econometric, Mr. Rao, okay? So, you can learn how the Indian's mind work, see? Because India and Thailand in the future will be part of ASEAN plus six, see? And India has a big population and a lot of strong in technical area like mathematics, engineering. Sarawak trained as engineer. But now he wants to spend his life in coaching people on leadership and strategy. Okay, so I will give him the time to express his ideas. Okay, and then we're gonna break, and I will consult him with the workshop. Okay, because to do workshop and to show to him that if you're my students, you can also discuss with him about leadership, because during 11 weeks with Gila Hongadarong, I consider you a strong group of people who understand leadership. But leadership is not something you copy ideas. You want to try to develop leadership in the sustainable way. Sustainable means when I leave you in 6 or 7 weeks, you will become stronger in hungry for new knowledge, okay? Hungry for more understanding of life. I look at this paper, I consider to be very, very up to date. So let us now welcome Mr. Sarawak again. Okay, your turn.
Good morning, everybody. Ladies and gentlemen. Thank you, Professor Chira, for inviting me to share some of my thoughts with your brilliant students in this phase of their life, they are still working a lot on academics and probably try to improve that. See, when Professor Chira asked me to deliver this class today, it was supposed to be at a month back, but then I had some personal issues. I was not here, I was in India, but the professor passed away. And we had to a little bit postpone it, so I had to request the energy three times to consolidate. What I would like today, it should not be a monologue. Because essentially any management education is basically a two-way dialogue. You never learn in management education if you are just simply making a monologue or you just get an input. It should be a two-way process. Please feel free to express your doubts, to ask any question. There is no stupid question in the world. People interact, people have their own opinions, they have own diagnosis, and they have their own analysis of any issue. That is why management is basically it's an art and a science together. So logic prevails sometimes, but sometimes it is a soft logic which works. And I basically try to, I was not aware that some of you are from the education institutions, try to put my this small presentation for you on the, I would say mostly on the business side. But these concepts are universal. They apply to any organization, whether it's a business organization, it's an education institution, it's an NGO, it's a philanthropic organization. So the principle essentially remains the same. So what we are going to talk today about, what is leadership all about is, secondly, how some organizations are more successful than others, what is the reason behind that? How the effective organizations are there, what are the dynamics inside the organization. And before I start, I would like you to introduce yourself. I have been introduced by Professor Chira already.
Okay.
Just to give you a brief background, I did my bachelor and master's in electrical engineering from IIT Roorkee in India, and then I did my MBA from AIT. And after that, I worked almost 28 years in corporate world. Half of, I'd say, not half exactly, but 12 years worked in India, in one of the largest organizations you can see. And then I came here and joined Siemens after doing my MBA. I continued with Siemens for almost 16 years, more than 16 years. And I was heading the strategy and marketing department of energy sector in Asia for Siemens. That was my last position. And after that, one day I decided that I should do what I like to do at my home. So living almost 19 years in Thailand.
So and you clocked then?
Yeah, in September would be 19 years. So before we proceed further, I would like you to introduce yourself.
Yeah.
And what is your expectation from today? What do you like? So that
would put in chat chat.
Okay. So I will try to steer the presentation. So there will be some interactions through the presentation, and then we will have a case study.
Yeah.
That is on a famous group, which is probably the largest group now, Tata. You might be knowing Tata has a big presence here in Thailand also. So that case we will discuss and a case study. And hopefully we conclude by meeting.
Yeah, about
12 by
12,
12, 15, 12. Okay, so it's a 3-hour session.
Okay,
so
start from here.
From right or left, whatever you like.
I have to speak louder.
Please.
Okay, good morning. Last
But you mean the thesis, right?
Yeah, what is the topic?
It's about the constant that we have to manage in international school.
Cross-cultural. Second. Power. Put them down. He was thinking about doing research on ethical capital and education.
Okay. And you are with which organization?
He's from the Ministry of Education.
Institute of Technology, Dhaka.
Lopburi.
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 Yeah, okay.
This school is big. 6,000.
6,000. 6,000 students.
You see, he's a vocational.
Quite big, big school.
Vocational technical college.
Oh, this is vocational.
At
okay.
the Ministry of Education school.
And what is your topic? For your thesis?
Nilayang. Tell him. เป็นส่วนหนึ่งของสยามยูนิเวอร์ซิตี้นะ
Where is it?
Sayam Technical College.
Which where?
Jalan.
Yes.
Jalan Seni.
Bandari. You have to fly in every weekend.
Oh,
yeah, every week, like,
okay.
Okay. So, for me, I'd like to learn about the, how to deal with the people, because they are in the human resource sector as well. So, I want to know how to deal with people, and besides that, I want to know how to deal with the culture in the organization. And I am in PhD.
Teaching assistant and now research assistant.
The two universities here and in Nanta.
Maybe Kunsarabad.
My last my thesis is the effectiveness of the learning organization for the Bank of Thailand.
Okay.
Okay, and the two nice girl, you know, Yani and Chitrada, which I also know.
Now Yani is being nice.
Okay. So, let me say, let's start with the presentation. Because it's difficult for me to just sit down and
think. Yeah.
So what is leadership? You know, this is, as I told you before, the leadership for organization transformation and success. This is the content of today's presentation. Why certain organizations are better than others? Right? What is the reason behind this? Why some are more effective than others are not so effective. So what could be, so essentially, any organization which is more successful, more effective, there is always a leadership behind it. Okay? Without a leader, organization is like a ship without a captain. And you can imagine a ship without a captain where it can lead you. And how, because we live in a very dynamic environment at the moment. The world is constantly changing, and it's changing much more. I give you a perspective. The information from 1900 until 1950 doubled. Okay, the whole information in the world. From 1950 to 1968, it became four times. And in the last decade, it become more than 20 times. So you can see the progress of the, you know, how the technology has changed the world. So we are living in a very dynamic environment where the world is constantly changing. And so are your organizations. They change on a continuous basis. Before I proceed, please stop me where you have any doubt or if you don't understand. Sometimes I may be speaking faster, so please stop me. I will try to slow down my pace as possible, but if I go too fast and you are not able to understand, please just immediately raise your hand and I will try to re-explain. So, as you rightly said, most of you people want to know what is leadership all about and how it integrates in the organization, how it leads the organization. Okay? So, what are the leadership styles? How, and we will go through this presentation a little bit. I was not aware, as I told you, I was thinking it's kind of, you know, business organization mostly, but it's good to know that you are from a diversified field. Education is a very lovely topic for me. I love to be an educator and involved mostly in this. So this is good, you people are from there, and we have one entrepreneur who set up his own. That's very good. So I try to bring some of the in my slide, which you might have got, about India, you know, what is the economy, what is the country, because I wanted to relate the conditions and how the leadership has done over there in certain organizations. Because leadership does not come in vacuum. To be a leader, you need something, cannot create in vacuum. You need an organization where the leaders are. You need society where the leaders are. It cannot, you know, be a planet like Moon, you cannot have leaders. So the context is very important in which you really drive your organization. So the idea was to relate the context with the case study, how this leader has built the organization and became the number one organization in India. It's a $100 billion company now. So it's a very versatile, very widely, you know, it's a conglomerate. So that was my idea, but it will be good that you have a perspective about India. So that's why I made. So let's go ahead. I would like to ask you, what do you think about leadership? What a leader should be? Do we have a flip chart here? So maybe if I can use that, everybody can see it here. That's right on this side, whichever you like. I can use that.
Why is it way?
Anyway.
Kalang, I'll flip chart and come back. ก็จะได้เขียนไปด้วยโอเคเฮียน
so what is leadership as I told you I don't want to be a monologue it has to be an interactive process
the leader that brings the organization to forward their vision
organization forward the vision
Forward.
With vision.
With
vision.
Okay. Okay. Anybody else? What is the leadership?
Kondun.
Try.
Try.
Positive thinking. Okay.
That's
good.
Yes.
I think you need positive thinking for everyone, huh? Good. Next, please.
The leadership has to be vision and care, vision with others.
Share vision.
Share vision.
Have vision and care, vision with others.
Ah, have and share vision.
Have vision, right? And share, okay.
Chanting for. Chanting to the goal. Chanting to the goal.
Can bring to the goal. Yeah.
Set
goal. Right?
Set goal.
Leadership and conflict management.
Conflict management. Okay.
Conflict management.
Yanni, I need a better pen. Cannot write with me. Conflict management, okay.
Conflict management.
Yes?
Yes, please.
Friendly. Okay, yeah.
Really? Okay. Let's see. Friendly. Okay. Anything else you see in a leader or leadership, right? Directing and coaching. Okay. Anything else?
Motivation.
Motivation, yes.
I was surprised why somebody didn't say that. Because that's the most important element, right? What is the best form of motivation? Who has the biggest motivation in the current environment? Who is the biggest motivator? Unfortunately, it is not the causative one. Let me give you a hint. The biggest motivator at the moment, who is the biggest motivator? You see some explosion in south of Thailand? Right? What happened?
Oh,
it is still concerned, right? So the biggest motivator in the world today is the terrorist organization. You can motivate a person that he can sacrifice his life. It is unprecedented, unparalleled. Business leaders, community leaders take these societies so hard work they do that they are not even motivated to that level that people do their work. And these guys can motivate their followers that they can sacrifice their life. So this is the highest form of motivation. Unfortunately, it's in the wrong direction. I mean, what else you can expect from your follower that he can give your life for you? Okay? So this is the highest form of motivation. At the same time, you see some of the motivation, like His Majesty, he motivates his subjects here to do the good work. Gandhi motivated the people of India to achieve the freedom, independence. So that was a positive leadership. That is a negative leadership. Okay? So these are the
Brief for the leadership role in our society. The first one is crisis management. The second, anticipate change to motivate others to be excellent. Fourth, conflict resolution. Explore opportunities. Listen and speak. Decisiveness, teamwork, the last one, manage for the unpredictable.
Yeah. We'll come to that. These are the tasks. These are what you are saying is the task, which we'll come back to the difference between a manager and a leader. You do these normal tasks, you do crisis management, you do, you know, all these general things, you do conflict management, but this is essentially what is leadership. You tell to your staff, he will do also these things later. He will deliver, he will bring you profit, he will, you know, manage the some of the activities of the organization, build a new process. What is leadership essentially? So let's go a little bit ahead, come back to the topic. I actually wanted to ask you before the
นี่เขาไม่ได้เตรียมกันเลยนะเห็นไหมสไตล์เขากับอาจารย์เรา compare manager and leaders see make sure that they are different
okay so these are some of the characteristics which we can see.
Very good
what is the difference between a leader and a manager right what does the leader do Leader think in the perspective and he thinks what are the right things to do. Okay? So, if I, like for example, if he has to develop his institute, as a manager, he will have a certain framework, he will operate in that. But as a leader, you have to think where is my vision, what I should do for the school that it goes. Your strategy goal. You want to be number one in the region, you want to be number one in the country, or you want to be number one internationally. So that is the, what are the right things to do for that. At the same time, if you have a manager, if you have a school principal or somebody, he will try to manage those activities. You tell him these are the things you have to do, and the manager will do in a right way. So that's the basic difference between the leaders do the right things, and the manager do the things right, in a right way. Okay, if I have to go to, for example, to Professor Chira house, right? As a leader, I will choose the right way to go there. As a manager, somebody will tell me from this route goes over there, I will follow the same route in a religious and a spiritual manner. Okay, leader always thinks what is important for the organization, for the society, for the enterprise he is leading. Okay. And what the manager do? They always feel the urgency. What is urgent that has to be done? Okay? So this is a basic question. Direction. Leader is always for the direction. Right? What manager do? They try to finish as early as possible. With more efficiency. Okay? They are concerned, the leaders are always concerned with the big picture, the top line, what we call in organization. Okay? While the managers are concerned about the profitability, the things you know which they achieve, the effectiveness and efficiency. Okay, do you know the difference between these two things? What is effectiveness? What is efficiency? Can anybody tell me the difference? Efficiency and effectiveness. You are efficient and you are effective. There are very clear cut difference between these two. Anybody knows? If I ask one of you to stand and push the wall till the evening, right? Okay? I asked Punateya that you lean against the wall and keep on pushing in the whole day. So what she is doing? She is deficient 100%. Because that is what she was supposed to do. I told efficiency that continuously every minute she is pressing the wall. But in definition of physics, unless you have a displacement, the work done is zero. You know, force into displacement is the work done. So your effectiveness is zero, but you are 100% efficient. Okay? So manager looks forward because the task is given to them and they have to manage that. So they look for the efficiency, that the work is done in a certain way that you deliver. While the leader thinks whether it is effective. What you told them, a certain thing, is it really effective for the to achieve the organization purpose? So that is the difference between effectiveness and the efficiency. You can be efficient, but your effectiveness can be zero. Okay?
No, I think the best example is as a school principal.
Yep.
You have a budget, but the job is to use budget according to plan. But if the student do not benefit, the budget is not effective, but it's sufficient because the budget was used according to plan. So leadership is trying to improve the benefits of the customers.
Let me add it. I mean, you can use your budget on gardening also, and you can use the budget on training the faculty. So which is more effective, the training the faculty? Efficiency is there. You can use 100% budget in your gardening, but it is not
effective. Okay? I think on this particular point, when you go back to your school, there will be rule and regulation for the budgeting, how you spend money. But if a leader have tried to improve the rule and regulation legally, so the benefit go to the quality of education. See, that's a very important role of leaders in this room. Not only to follow rules and regulation, which is very stringent in government.
Yes. When we
call it for the
within 2 years, GE has seen continuous in this tenure of 21 years,
quarter by quarter double digit growth. That was chapter. Okay. We have created a very disheartening organization in Siemens. We have sectors, then we have the regional clusters, and these guys do nothing except reporting the figures which we send to them. The real guy who is working is the country sales guy who goes to the customer or the project manager to deliver the project and the process. Okay? So, but sometimes it happens because the internal politics and the environment of the organization are conducive that they grow better. And when now becomes very heavy, I shouldn't quote the figure, but let me tell you, Siemens has 15% of our active growth in this top half, which hardly contributes to the growth of the organization. So that is where the leader has to come. Okay? Then they work on the state are based on the principles, right? And the managers follow the practices. And what is about principles? Principles you can't change, they are renewable. Law of gravity cannot change. The forces under drag cannot change. So these are the universal principles. The principle of honesty, fairness will not change. Your value system can be different, but the principle will always remain the same. After all, thief also has a value. The value of the thief is to steal as much as he can do. But the principle of fairness is not there, so he cannot sustain that. So leaders always work on certain principles, right, which are universal, and then they develop a value system and a culture in the organization that the organization's values and principles are aligned. For this sustainability, who is working on sustainability, please keep this in mind.
Pardon?
No, what I say, that we will come back to this topic. What I was saying is, when you align your value system with the principles which are universal, then you are sustainable for the whole period of your organization where they exist. But if your value system does not align with the principles, you will have the problem. You cannot sustain that for long. And you find many organizations, they are cheating, they are dishonest, right? They are cheating customers, but at the end of the day, you will hardly find very few organizations which we call a 25-year cycle that they go beyond that, on that success. Only those organizations which work on the principle-centered approach, you know, survive for 100 years, 150 years. Siemens founder has a principle, the Siemens brother, what you know what he said? I do not want to trade my future for today's game. Mm. You get a short game?
He said that.
Yes. You can get a short game.
Wow.
Because he was the one who...
That's sustainability.
Yes. I don't want to trade my future for today's game. And that is where
Siemens... Okay. So that is, I didn't know that he said that.
Yeah. Wonder from Siemens.
Future.
Yes.
You must protect.
So,
but
the
most
leader,
people, Siemens, most people maximizing short term,
yeah,
at expense of long term. See? Be careful in education. Think about quality of education in the long run rather than short run.
Then another is that they work on the system, how to improve the system, right? The managers work in the system. Whatever you give to them, they will work in the system. While the leader thinks always, you know, how to improve the system. And that's leadership. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
The leader thinks whether what he is doing, what the approach, you know. As a manager, you want to climb up immediately, as early as possible. But the leader thinks whether you are climbing in the right direction. It may so happen that you climb, whether your ladder is leaning against the right wall or
wow,
the wrong wall.
Very good. Last one is the best.
Indeed.
See, when you climb something, you got to know what is your purpose of climbing.
Okay.
But in government, you want to be principal, you climb. But the education quality does not improve.
Okay?
Very good.
So, one quote on sustainability I would like to give you. There is a Chinese philosopher, Lao Tzu,
sustainability.
And he said, in want to feed a person, okay, give him fish, give him eat. But if you want to feed a person for life, teach him how to fish, and that is the education. If you have to sustain society, that you tell you want to feed. In this very dynamic world, only the knowledge-based society and knowledge-based company will sustain, nothing else. So if you have to sustain him for life, teach him how to fish, so can he fish every day.
Can I say this? You see, during the 11 weeks together that Ajahn Malai has given me the honor, my job is to make them learning how to learn, see? Not only copy ideas. You can see that Salawat and Jila Hongadalo must have similar gene, because in approaching leadership, you know, I have a table like this too,
yep,
but different combination, right? But I think in the future, the line, demarcation line between manager and leader will be a bit blur,
yep,
because a good manager one day can become good leader too.
He should aspire to be a good leader. Right?
But a good leader cannot ignore basic management. There was a story that bright leader in the military field can lead everything, but he forgot that they need food, they need shelter, and they need ammunition. That management also, okay? So leading is not the only thing. You need basic support of good managers too. Huh? So I think in the future,
this is what I was coming to you. So the leadership is all about managing and leading people. That is where you need it. A leader doesn't do the work by himself, but he brings his team, his followers, his supporters to a level that he leads them in a way what vision he wants to achieve, they work for him. Okay? There are three levels basically, let me tell you, the whole organizations are built up. One are the technical skills, okay, which you have the basic skills. For example, in education, you join as an assistant professor. You need to know what the subject matter is to teach your students, right? In organization, when you start as an engineer, you need to know the technical skills, how the work is done. Then you go in a little higher rank of the organization and you are in the management level. Then you need the people skills. Because you need to manage the people. That's your job. So when you become a vice principal or something, you need to manage your faculty, your staff, right? To deliver what the students need. To create an enabling environment. When you go at the senior level, the staff management level, you need strategy and leadership. Leadership is all throughout the organization. You need to strategize your thinking, what is best for my organization, and that's the role of the director, of the principal, of the chairman of the board, where I have to go down the line in 10 years from now. And that is called strategy. So these are the three skills important for any organization. And leadership, is my friends, let me tell you, six choices. Leader gets the power, he never gets the authority. Authority is given, it's a formal power given to the managers, but leader wields the power. Gandhi never had any position, let me tell you, in his whole life. But he was the most powerful leader of the country. If Martin Luther King never had any position, he was the most people remember him today. He was the leader. Okay? So please try to understand this distinction. Authority is a formal power, while the real power of leadership is informal. He needs that power because of his leadership. Okay? Let's go and try to understand the organization dynamics of the force. Okay? There was a famous social scientist, Kurt Lewin, and he did the analysis of the organization. Why the state of the organization is as of today, how it could be different tomorrow, how it was different in the past. Okay? And he did a field force analysis, what we call it, in
try to understand the performance level of the organization. How your level of performance in the organization can be affected by what? Please tell me, what are the factors? I don't want you just to, you have to think, right?
เรียนแบบฝรั่งเลยนะคือคำถามคือบอกว่าองค์กร please me just make sure they understand องค์กรเนี่ยมันจะขับเคลื่อนด้วยความเป็นเลิศได้ยังไงมีปัจจัยอะไรบ้างนะลองนึกถึงโรงเรียนของเราคือเขากำลังจะอธิบายทฤษฎีฟิลฟอร์สเนี่ยอันนี้เคยเรียนเคยเรียนบ้างเนี่ยเคยเรียนแล้วใช่ไหมอ๋อสบายอาจารย์เคยสอนจริงจริงแล้วคนเก่งเนี่ยคืออาจารย์อะไรอาจารย์สอนได้เยอะเลย
How organization performance is different. What is the dynamics behind it? Let me put a question in a different way. What is the dynamics behind organization performance? Pardon? Policy. When you want to do something in an organization, okay, suppose let me say in your school, you want to start a new curriculum, okay? How do you control the performance? What are the factors which affect your initiative? That's a task. I'm not talking that. That's an activity. Okay. What is the basically dynamic? You want to do something in organization. How best you can do, how worst you can do. What is the thing behind it?
Planning.
Okay. Anything else? If let me say this pen in my hand, right? I need to go here. Why? Why it has gone down?
Nature.
Huh? Why?
We have to analyze what happened.
Why it has gone down?
By
what is it you are in like gravitation, right?
Gravity.
Okay, what is gravity? It's a force. Right? So it's pulling something. And if I throw it away, what will come out? What?
To push.
So, uplift. I know some force is going. So similarly, dear friends, there are two forces in the organization which affect the performance. They are dragging forces which want to bring down the inertia in your organization, the emotional, the mindset of the people which want to drag it down. Okay? Your performance. There are other forces like good strategies, good HR policies, good incentives, good motivation which are the uplift forces. So they want to bring your performance up. And it is the very equilibrium which Kurt Levinow said which decide your organization's performance level. So what we call there are the driving or enabling forces and there are the restraining forces. And if wherever these two forces become equal, that is the equilibrium and performance in your organization. Okay? Is it clear or any doubt on that? Because this will decide your leadership at the end of the day. Am I clear? Should I repeat it again? Please feel free. You can ask me 20 times. I'm not bothered. As long as you understand the concept. This will be part of your case study also. Okay? So what I said then, please.
I think the end of the day, that you said have to be make the people circumvent first. Or
No. I'm not talking. We will come to the, they are the activities. Out of that framework. What I'm saying, if your performance of your organization goes down, there are some forces in the environment in your organization present which want to drag down your performance. Okay?
what we call this is the straining or the negative force. There are other things, other forces in your organization through which you can bring your performance up. Okay, like good structure, good leadership, good motivation, they try to bring your performance. So when these two forces balance each other, you get the performance level of your organization. Okay, we will talk what are these forces later. But try to understand this equilibrium. So as a leader, what is your job? What is your job as a leader?
Sometimes to get rid of the bias from the employees.
Talk in a framework. Okay? I give you a framework of the performance of the organization. As a leader, what is your job? Thinking how to solve the problem. What is the problem? What is the problem?
The problem is that productivity is low.
So I would say the performance of the organization is low, right? So what it means? It means the low equilibrium is at a lower level. So what it indicates that you have more negative forces which is bringing the organization down than the positive forces. Okay? That's it. Enabling or disenabling. As a leader, what is your first task? Mind it, the clear-cut definition of leadership is a leader is one who can make his supporters, his followers, to achieve his vision in the way he wants, in the way he wants, also important. This is an activity. I was saying the first job of a leader is to identify these forces. Unless you understand.
May I intervene? Could this theory explain that in any organization, you wish the organization to perform well, right? But if the organization does not perform well, according to theory, there are two forces, พลังอ่ะ พลังบวก and พลังลบ เพราะฉะนั้น ถ้ามัน equilibrium หมายความว่าทั้ง 2 อันเท่ากัน แต่จริงๆแล้วเราอยากจะ bring in positive forces that enhance the effectiveness of an organization. So any leader and any school, if you see the performance of your school declining, that is the job of leader, that to uplift. So in principle, that is then in detail you can explain later. But the leader must understand forces.
Yes, that is a very
forces. Driving force means if something needs to be changed, what motivates things to change, right? So leader must identify forces like that.
So what we have to find the causes for an effect, right? Mm-hmm. Unless you determine those forces, you know those forces, you cannot take corrective action. Okay? There's a saying, if you cannot measure, you cannot monitor, you cannot improve. Right? So unless you know those forces, the positive as well as the negative, what the leadership, what you will do? You will try to increase the positive forces and you will try to reduce the negative forces. So that your organization level, performance level, go up. Because then there will be again equilibrium, right? But at a time. Okay? So let's go to the next. Any question here, please?
Harmony,
it's a very societal concept, right? What we are trying to understand the organization performance level, right? It rests with the harmony when these forces are balanced. That is true. Okay?
And I think the word that increase the positive and decrease the negative.
Yes.
Divide your equilibrium.
Yes. Okay? So we have a current state, right? as on today, your organization exists, let's say, in a scale of 1 to 10, your organization is today in 6. Just an example, I expect time. Then, what you want to do, you want to bring it to a level of, let's say, 8 or 9 or 10. That is your desired state. So, what your enabling forces or the driving forces do, they take your current state to the desired state. So, you improve the performance by enabling these driving forces. By increasing those forces. So, in any organization, but you can only do when you understand what you need for that. What are these forces? Okay? So, these are the program and initiatives put forth by an organization to bring about change and achieve desired results. And desired results, your desired state. Okay, very well. For example, I want my organization that my customer complaint is zero. I want to achieve an EBIT of 10% and I want to grow at a double digit of 15% income and revenue. These are my strategic goals and targets. Okay? So how do I do that? Another example. What do you do? You will motivate your sales force, isn't it? You will improve quality of your product or the projects. Okay? You will try to understand the customer requirement and satisfy it, right? In a college, your customers, who are your customers? Your students, right? So you will try to understand and give them the best. And for that, these are the actions you will take. So you will tell your management team and your team and your staff, hey, look, we have to achieve this. This is what we have to do. And then they will do it. And motivate that if we achieve this state of the organization, these are the benefits we are going to take.
Okay. Small question. What happened if the leader in school like them try their best, but the environment surrounding them like political environment, okay. Because I think most leaders try their best, but they are being forced by many, many factors outside their organization, you know. So to study only at the micro level sometimes is useful, but in Thailand in particular, the case is not about the lack of leadership quality, but the environment surrounding schools.
This is an important question, and that's what I'd like to ask you now, right? I'll try to explain as possible. So these are the then your desired state is not achieved, they try to push back, you know, these restraining forces. No, we don't want to do. They will restrict you, you know. They will try to, where it is, leave it. And these are the, again, what Dr. Sheila said, there are environments, your operating environment, in which environment you are operating. If you have a very highly restricted environment, you can't do much because you are bounded by the government rules, by the societal norms that you are there. Okay? Please, if you have any doubt, ask me directly. Okay? And if you have any doubt, ask loudly. So that other can answer, probably they have the same doubt.
Let me talk to them in Thai. คือไอ้วันเนี้ยกลับไปแล้วเนี่ยเราอาจจะต้องเซตโกลแต่ละองค์กรที่มันวัดได้เช่น ONET ENET หรืออะไรก็แล้วแต่ที่มันเป็น improve จากสิ่งที่เป็นอยู่ก็คือปัจจุบันใช่ไหมแล้วก็สิ่งที่อยากเห็นใช่ไหมอันนี้ตรงเนี้ยเขาก็เลยบอกว่าถ้าเป็น leader เนี่ยหน้าที่ของเราก็คือทำให้มันเกิดขึ้นอันนี้ผมก็เลยเถียงเขาว่าบางครั้งคนดีๆไปอยู่ตรงเป็นผู้อำนวยการโรงเรียนเนี่ยก็อาจจะยังทำไม่สำเร็จก็มีปัจจัยรอบข้างแต่อาจารย์คิดว่าถ้าเราสามารถทำตัวเราให้มันเข้มแข็งแล้วก็พึ่งพาปัจจัยอื่นๆมาทดแทนปัจจัยที่เป็นปัจจัยลบอ่ะเช่นสมมติเราขาดทรัพยากรแล้วก็เรสมาจากข้างนอกอะไรเงี้ยนะฮะนั่นก็คือ leadership เหมือนกันแต่ว่า you see in reality you see the good things about Indian and Thai is that if we combine together the thing is that realities of life as a school administrator in Thailand
I'm coming
yeah yeah they some of them face so many difficulties.
So when you have this kind of system, you are in such an environment, I mean whether it is an efficient thing or a company, because you have so many restrictions. I mean, I can tell you the how disastrous it can be. In 1991, India was on the verge of bankruptcy. They had to place the gold because the foreign exchange reserve was not enough to make the payment. This has happened because the 20 years of the blockade. They were not allowed, there were so many, you know, regulation, economic regulation, there was no free trade happening. So what you do in that kind of situation? That is the question. You have some strain in your operating environment, okay? For example, in Vietnam, you cannot do direct business. You have to have a local agent, and those guys are highly corrupt because the machine is corrupt. So what do you do in that? There are two things. One is your circle of concern. You are concerned, but you can't do much because you do not have the right power and authority. Okay. If the government of Thailand today says that we ban all export of shrimp, okay, as a small producer of shrimp, it is your area of concern. What we call circle. I mean, you know it is affecting you, but you can't do much. Then you have another circle of influence where the great leaders do that. What you do, you make the like-minded people, you try to increase your circle of influence. And you come to a stage as a leader that you can change that operating environment. It can be in a day, it can be few years together, right? So there were people who changed this environment. I mean, look 50 years ago, Thailand. In 1969, the income budget and income of Ghana and Thailand was same. 1969. Where is Ghana today and where is Thailand? Okay? At that point of time, your leaders, your political leadership, your social leadership was concerned that country is not developed. Okay? It has to be developed. But they could not change environment in a day. It needs education. Economic resources, it needs systems, technology, and the capital to go to that level. So that was an area of concern at that point of time. But slowly, slowly, engagement with Japanese, with Western world, with regional countries, and the free trade they bring you to this country, they import the technology, increase the agriculture production more, almost 10 times. That is where the circle of influence grew wider and wider. And now, Thailand is the second largest economy in Asia. You have almost 99% literacy rate, which not many countries have in the world. So that is how it is influenced. Okay? So you need, as a leader, you have to increase your circle of influence and reduce your circle of influence. That is what you did, that is what the question of Prithiraj. How do you do in that situation? He is having a school and the Kanthapuri provincial government tomorrow says, I mean, it's a funny thing sometimes I find. In India, there is a rule, if you put up a management school, you cannot take more than 60 students. You are an entertainer, you are putting your capital, you are building, you are recruiting the student, but the government will tell you how many students you can take. It's very funny, but it is there. So what they are doing, now they made association, they are trying to influence those laws are changed. And so that economic viability is there, but at the same time they have to ensure that there is no problem. Okay? The reason was that. The government put it because they don't want the 200 students in a class and without any faculty. So this is how you do it. In any organization, whether it's a commercial or a social organization, by the way, let me tell you which is the biggest organization in the world, do you know that? The biggest organization in the world. It's not a business organization. I give you a hint.
UN.
Anybody? Any idea? It's a social organization. Again, more. It's a religious organization. Any idea? The church organization is the biggest one.
Catholic.
Yes. That's the largest organization. Okay.
have very meticulous systems in place. You may debate their policy, that's a different issue, right? And how they are holding such a large organization all over the world. That's the only organization they have. They have every country. Nothing else. It's the largest, it's the only organization which is present in all the countries in the world. By the way, United Nations is not a delegate organization. Many countries are not members of the UN. You'll be surprised, there are only 192 and we have more than 200 countries in the world. I think precisely 217 or something. Okay? So this is the largest organization. And they have such a structure, policies that they could control the whole world, you know, they can manage the whole. Okay, so let's go to the, so you understand what are the enabling forces or the driving forces in our nation where you want to achieve a certain result, and there are the moments that selling forces. Okay? Now how you set the equilibrium? So there is a continuous inflection of these forces. As I tell you, organizations live in a dynamic environment. They are not in vacuum. Okay? You cannot have any organization in a vacuum. They live in a society, they live in a world, they live in a city, they live in an economic environment. So this and that. So these two forces continuously interact with each other. And you get an equilibrium, your desired state when these forces are balanced. Okay? So as a leader, again I emphasize, you need to understand these forces in your organization. They can be different in different organizations. And you have to increase the more driving forces, more initiatives, and reduce the negative forces. So that
you in the case of your educational sector,
yeah,
the training forces within your own organization at the school level is the cultural factors. Very important.
Culture, yes.
Yeah. This is
I'm giving these are some of the examples, right? Of the organization forces which are like for example programs you have to initiate. I tell you my own experience. We were having problems, our state was not going up. So we took inspiration in Japan, we called it Southeast Asia Growth Initiative in Siemens. So we drive this initiative for 2 years and our sales were almost we achieved more 300% of growth in 2 years. So these are special initiatives of state to increase the state growth. In the department there is we were doing 1.2 billion and then we reached 2.7 billion. In one of the different this was involved in this program. You take some initiative and mind it, these are controllable because you design those courses. You design those programs. So these courses are controllable. And they have full management support because you really want to work with your organization. So unless you have a management support or a top support, you cannot drive those initiatives. Okay? So these are the characteristics of the driving courses. And there you can measure their outcome. At the same time, the selling forces are more like emotional, you know. The mind says somebody is lost, he doesn't want to do anything, right? Oh, everything is negative for him. So it's very difficult to change. So the selling forces are more difficult to remove rather than the driving forces which you can do at your way. And their measurement is difficult because it's very difficult to measure the mindset of a person if it doesn't want to work. You measure like ideals different. It's very difficult. Same thing is very difficult to measure their emotions, their mindset, their way of working, habits, you know, culture, background. It's very difficult. Okay? So these are some typical examples. It can be different. May I ask my gentleman here, the two gentlemen here, what are the best-selling forces in your organization? Tell me the restraining forces.
You ask which one?
I ask
technical college. อะไรเป็นอุปสรรคทำให้ไม่สำเร็จ
teamwork okay then what else
Corruption. Corruption.
Corruption. Okay. By the way, sometimes corruption can be a very good driving force. To get the case very bad.
Or the leader sitting over there cannot export.
I did this question was asked by a board member, and I didn't say I was the only one who gave the right answer. Or it should be.
So what's the answer?
I'm just, let this young brain accessory. This is your accessory. I mean,
what do we do, right?
Pardon?
What is the question?
The question is, you have China with a very strong manufacturing base. They are exporting worldwide, flooding the market with their products. Then there is the Western companies which they depend on export because domestic demand is saturated. So what should they do to beat this competition?
What should they do?
What should we do? Not they.
If they are exporting also the thing, Thailand is also exporting your economy and you are feeling the heat from those products. So what you will do to beat that competition? To improve your performance.
Differentiation.
Thank you.